Welcome back to the Deep Dive, everybody. We're diving into the world of commercial photography today, and more specifically, how to actually find those clients who really need your work.
Exactly. And this is something that I think every photographer struggles with at some point in their career, whether they're, you know, just starting out, switching careers, or maybe you've been running a business for a while and you're just looking to kind of refine your target market a little bit.
That's such a good point. And you know, going through your research, it seems like so many photographers, they miss the mark when it comes to, I don't know, kind of wrapping their heads around what commercial photography really is. Like they kind of approach it with this, if I take it, they will come mentality. And it doesn't quite work that way, does it?
It really doesn't. I mean, you can be the most talented photographer in the world with a killer portfolio, but if you're not approaching your business with the right mindset, with an understanding of what a business actually needs, then success in this industry is going to be very difficult to find.
It's almost like they forget that it's not, you know, just about taking beautiful photos, right? It's about solving a problem for your clients, and that requires a different way of thinking.
100%. Yeah. And it requires understanding your clients,
right?
The end consumer. Because ultimately, everything you shoot is going to be seen through the lens of marketing and sales.
So it's less about being like the stereotypical artsy photographer who's just kind of off in their own world creating for themselves, and more about collaborating, you know, really being a partner with these businesses.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. Your source material even says, quote, prima donnas can exist in this business, but they're few and far between. Your clients, and those clients might be a design agency, or it might be a small business, or it might even be a large corporation, are all looking for solutions.
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that I found really interesting in your research was this distinction between commercial photography and editorial photography, because honestly, I hear those terms thrown around all the time, and I'm not always sure people fully grasp the difference.
Right. And that's such a key distinction that I think a lot of photographers, they don't quite understand. And understanding that difference can really lead to some higher paying gigs for you and really elevate your portfolio as well.
So break it down for us. What exactly is commercial photography? What does that really mean?
So commercial photography, when you really get down to it, it's all about directly promoting a product or a service. Think about the kind of images that you see in, you know, advertisements. You see them in brochures or on product packaging. That's commercial photography in action.
Okay, so it's very much about the hard sell, buy this product kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's about driving a specific action, typically a purchase.
Okay, got it. So then what about editorial photography? How does that fit into the mix?
So editorial photography is a little bit different. It's still commissioned work, often by, you know, magazines or online publications. But instead of directly pushing a product, it's more about telling a story, accompanying, you know, maybe a written piece. Think fashion spreads in Vogue or images you see in like National Geographic that transport you to a different place.
Okay, so instead of screaming buy this product, it's more about capturing a mood or a feeling or drawing the viewer into a story. And there's definitely a place for both, right?
Absolutely. In fact, having a mix of both commercial and editorial work in your portfolio can actually make you more marketable. It shows potential clients that you have range, that you're capable of achieving different goals with your photography.
It's like being fluent in two different photography languages.
Oh.
You can speak hard sell, but you can also speak emotion and narrative. That's such a great way to think about it.
Exactly. It's about having those different tools in your toolkit to meet the needs of different clients and projects.
So if we're kind of shifting our mindset, right, we're moving away from just like, look at my amazing photos, and more towards, how can my photography actually help you achieve your business goals? What comes next? How do we as photographers figure out which businesses even need the kind of work that we do?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because it can definitely feel overwhelming, right? You're like, okay, there are millions of businesses out there. Where do I even begin? And this is where this idea of channels comes in.
Okay, so tell me more about that. When I hear the word channels, I kind of think marketing jargon, which can be a little intimidating.
Yeah, no, you're right. It does sound a little jargony, but I promise it's actually a really simple and powerful concept. Think of it this way. Channels is just a fancy way of saying the industries or businesses that need the kind of photography you're best at.
Okay, so instead of just saying I'm a portrait photographer, I need to think I'm the solution for X type of business that needs amazing portraits.
Exactly. And one of your sources had a great quote about this. They said that too many photographers are out there saying, here's my camera, what do you want to shoot? Instead of What problems are you trying to solve? How can I help you achieve your goals through my photography?
It's like going from order taker to problem solver, which is a much more powerful position to be in.
100%. And the beautiful thing is that by understanding those channels and positioning yourself as that solution, you're not only going to attract more of the right clients, but you're also going to be able to command higher rates because you're bringing so much more value to the table.
Okay, I'm already seeing how this could be a game changer for photographers, but I also know that we have a lot more to uncover here. So we'll be right back after the short break to delve even deeper into the world of channels and how to make them work for you. And we're back. I'm excited to dive back into this whole channel thing. It feels like we were just getting to the good stuff before the break.
Me too. It's such a game changer once you wrap your head around it.
So where do we even begin? How do we actually identify these channels? It feels like it could be easy to get overwhelmed and not even know where to start.
You're absolutely right. It can feel a little overwhelming at first, but your sources provided a really great framework for this channel discovery process that they talk about.
Okay, so walk us through it. What's the first step?
So they use this case study of a photographer who specializes in, let's say, landscapes and interiors, all shot with this beautiful natural light. And the question is, how can this photographer find success in the commercial world using this channel method?
Okay, I like it. So we've got our photographer. They're clearly talented in their niche, landscapes, interiors, natural light. But how do we take those strengths and actually turn them into a list of potential clients?
Well, your source material says that you start with what their photographer already does well.
Right.
So we've got these stunning landscapes, probably some gorgeous shots of homes, all bathed in this beautiful sunlight. And then we ask, who needs those kinds of images? Who gets excited about this style of photography?
Okay, yeah, I'm starting to see the wheels turning here. I mean, just off the top of my head, thinking about those landscapes, I'm like, oh, travel magazines would be all over that, right? Home decor magazines,
yeah.
Even those like regional publications, you know, the ones that really showcase the beauty of a specific place.
Exactly. You're already starting to identify those channels.
Right.
And don't forget about calendars. People love having those beautiful landscapes hanging on their walls all year round.
Calendars, that's a great one. See, this is what I'm talking about. It's like you don't even realize those are potential clients until you really start to think about it.
Right. And that's the beauty of this process. It helps you see these opportunities that were always there, but maybe you just weren't tuned into them before.
It's like you're suddenly speaking a whole new language, the language of clients, I guess.
Exactly. And the more fluent you become in that language, the more successful you're going to be.
Love it. Okay, so we've got travel magazines, home decor, calendars. What else? Can we go even deeper? Because, I don't know, it feels like travel magazines is still a pretty broad category, right?
Absolutely, you're right. And this is where it gets even more interesting. This is where a lot of photographers miss out. Instead of stopping at travel magazines, we can zoom in even further and think about the companies that are advertising in those magazines. Think about the brands that align with that same aesthetic, that same, you know, love of landscapes and natural beauty.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Give me an example.
All right, so let's say our photographer, they love shooting landscapes, right? Well, who else loves landscapes? People who sell things that you use in landscapes. Camping gear companies, for example.
Oh, wow. Yeah. They're always looking for those stunning visuals to make people crave adventure and those hero shots of tents pitched by a lake at sunset. I mean, that's totally our photographer's jam.
Exactly. And by making that connection, they've just unlocked a whole new world of potential clients. And it doesn't stop there.
Wait, there's more. I feel like my mind is already blown.
Oh, we're just getting started. Remember how we talked about how channels can sometimes feel a bit broad? Well, your source material also talks about this idea of subchannels, which takes things to a whole new level of specificity.
Okay, I'm listening. Subchannels. Tell me more.
So instead of just stopping at camping gear companies, we can zoom in even further and think about the specific products within that category.
So like instead of just tents, we're talking about the companies that make those super high-tech backpacks, the ones designing those hiking boots that can withstand anything, the folks who create those fancy camping gadgets that everyone wants. We're getting hyper-specific.
Yes. And by drilling down to those sub-channels, our photographer has uncovered a gold mine of potential clients. Instead of just targeting the big tent company, they now have a whole list of specialized brands that align perfectly with their style and expertise.
Okay, this is incredible. It's amazing how a simple shift in perspective can open up so many possibilities. But let's get real for a second. What if our landscape and interiors photographer, they live in, say, a small town, do they have to pack their bags and move to a big city to make this work?
That's a great question. And honestly, it's something I hear from photographers all the time. I don't live in a big city. Does that mean I can't have a successful commercial photography business? And the answer is absolutely not. It just requires thinking a little more strategically about those channels and maybe starting with a more local approach.
So our small town photographer, they could start by connecting with like local businesses, tourism boards, maybe even real estate agents who need those stunning property shots.
Exactly. They can become the go-to photographer for capturing the beauty of their region.
It's like the saying, bloom where you're planted, but for photographers.
I love that. And as they gain more experience and build up their portfolio with those targeted shoots, they can start reaching out to those bigger, more specialized clients. Remember, success in commercial photography is a marathon, not a sprint.
This is so eye-opening. We've gone from feeling overwhelmed by the vastness of commercial photography to having this incredible roadmap for identifying ideal clients and making a real impact with our work. But before we get ahead of ourselves, what are some practical steps that photographers can take to turn this channel knowledge into action?
Great question. Let's dig into that right now. I think you'll be really surprised by some of the advice that came up in your research.
So we've got the knowledge, we've identified those dream clients, those perfect channels. Now, how do we actually reach out and make those connections?
Well, and I think this is where a lot of photographers, they kind of hit a wall, right? They know who they want to work with, but they're not sure how to actually make it happen.
Right, because it's one thing to say, okay, I want to shoot for National Geographic, but it's a whole other thing to actually get your foot in the door, right?
Exactly. And, you know, one thing that your source material really emphasized was the importance of not getting caught up in what they call the gear envy trap.
Oh, tell me more about that. What's the gear envy trap? Because let's be real, photographers love their gear.
That's true. But a lot of photographers, they fall into this trap of thinking they need to have the latest and greatest equipment to book those dream clients. And that's just not always the case.
Okay, so instead of sinking tons of money into new lenses, photographers should really focus on what? Honing their skills and then renting specialty gear if a shoot requires it.
Exactly. You know, master what you have, and then when the time comes and you need that, you know, that one special lens for a shoot, rent it. Don't feel like you have to have it all right out of the gate.
It's like renting a fancy outfit for a special occasion instead of going out and buying it, right?
100%. It frees up your budget to invest in other areas of your business that are going to actually move the needle, like building relationships, marketing yourself strategically, you know, things like that.
So much more important than having the shiniest new camera, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, another point that your source material made that I thought was really interesting was this idea of using the channel discovery exercise to actually identify potential gaps in your portfolio.
Oh, that's interesting. So, like, let's say our landscape and interiors photographer, they're like, you know what? I really want to break into shooting for travel magazines. But when they look at their portfolio, they're like, wait a minute, I don't actually have that many travel themed images.
Right. And that's a perfect opportunity for a targeted photo shoot. They can plan a trip. You know, go somewhere scenic and create images specifically designed to appeal to those travel publications.
It's all about being really strategic and intentional about what you're shooting, right? You're not just like going out and hoping for the best. You're creating the work that you need to attract the clients that you want.
Exactly. It's like you're crafting a visual story that speaks directly to your dream client.
I love that. It's so smart. Okay, so we've got our portfolio in tip-top shape. We've got a list of dream clients thanks to our channel Deep Dive. What's next? How do we actually get on their radar? How do we get our work in front of them?
Right. And this is where a lot of photographers, I think they kind of revert back to just like, okay, I'm going to post on social media and hope for the best. But it doesn't have to be that passive. Remember, you now have this incredible knowledge about your ideal clients, so you can actually target your marketing efforts much more effectively.
It's like the difference between casting a wide net and spearfishing. You're going straight to the source, which is going to be way more efficient and effective in the long run. What are some other ways that photographers can stay top of mind with their potential clients?
You know, one thing that your source material really emphasized was the importance of staying open to serendipity.
Oh, I like that. Tell me more.
It's easy to get so caught up in our plans, right, that we forget to leave room for those happy accidents, those unexpected opportunities. And honestly, you never know where your next great client is going to come from.
There's that car analogy again. Once you're aware of something, you start seeing it everywhere, right? And I feel like that applies to potential clients too. It's like once you're clear on who you want to work with, you start to see opportunities everywhere you look.
100%. It's like you've tuned your radar to pick up on those possibilities.
Yeah.
And then finally, your source material. They talked about the importance of challenging the status quo.
Oh, I love that. So don't be afraid to push the boundaries. Think outside the box a little bit.
Exactly. You know, don't be afraid to show potential clients new ways to use your photography, new ways to tell their stories. That's how you stand out from the crowd.
It's about being innovative, being a creative problem solver, which is honestly what commercial photography is all about, right?
Absolutely. And it's those photographers who are willing to take risks to push the boundaries who are going to be the most successful in the long run.
This has been such an incredible deep dive. We've covered so much ground, but I feel like we've just scratched the surface. Any final words of wisdom for our listeners before we wrap things up?
You know, I think the biggest takeaway here is that success in commercial photography is a journey. It's about constantly learning and growing, refining your craft, and building those genuine connections with clients who really get you and your work.
So true. And on that note, we'll let you get back to it. But keep those cameras clicking, keep those creative juices flowing, and remember, we're always here to cheer you on along the way.